Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. We have here today Terry Brim and Lynn Marie Brim. And they've been married now how long? 5 years?
Five and a half years,
and they are about to become parents of a baby.
Yay!
And so we've told you their stories. You'll want to listen. If you haven't been listening, you'll want to go on billybrim.org and draw up starting on February 10 and then listening right on through until February 20th, the radio broadcast that give this story. And you'll want to tell someone to listen in, someone who's been hurt, someone who's divorced, someone who's believing God for a mate, or someone who doesn't have a very good marriage right now, or just someone who's interested in the laws of faith. Because we started off with, last week, going into detail, Terry was in a frustrated place. He'd been trying to find a wife. He'd been trying to finish Prayer Mountain. He went to bed one night in his little ratty travel trailer and said to God, there's either something wrong with me or there's something wrong with your rules. They don't work for all. Your laws don't work for all. God told him to get a pen right in the 3 o'clock in the morning. And he began by writing, God does not bless or give to us according to what we deserve or what we may think is good, but by spiritual laws that he set into existence. He taught Terry that night about the spiritual laws. Terry put them into practice. Now, I see something as we're sitting here talking. He put them into practice every morning. He took communion over these laws, over God's covenant with him, and he could work with God by covenant, and he began believing for his wife. Now, you were in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and you had come out of a harrowing situation. And this faith that Terry's speaking down here is working for you up there. Now, you had been in a marriage, and that marriage, I think that both were deceived. And I know it was devilish, because the man you thought was godly, you taught Sunday school classes together, and then he began to tell you that he was hearing from God, and God told him this, and God told him that. And folks, again, we want to say, every voice you hear is not God. The Bible says, believe not every spirit in 1 John 4. But brethren, test the spirits, whether they be of God. And it tells you that when the spirit's in manifestation, it cannot say Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So you give the test of, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Well, you didn't know to give the test. And you said you believe the young man was deceived, and he was deceived, because we're sad to say, but is it all right to tell how this thing turned out with him?
Just that he's no longer here.
He's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. And just recently died. And but he was troubled until his last day. And so, but at that time, he was telling Lynn that he was hearing from God and that she was going to die, and had picked out a date for her. He had heard she was going to die on Halloween of all days. That lets you know right there it was the devil. But Lynn was scared, and she, but eventually the Lord, whom she had trusted really, not knowing every biblical law, she trusted him with his heart and that he would take care of her, and he did. He led her out of that situation. She got a divorce. She was teaching school, and then she began to hear a voice that was God. And God told her to take a sabbatical from her teaching and to change churches. And she likes the church she's going to in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But someone tells her of another church they think she'll like, and she goes over to try it out that night, and the guest speaker is Kenneth E. Hagin. Now pick it up from there, Lynn.
And it was wonderful. At that time, I could not understand why it seemed to me as if God was saying it's time to change churches, because I was very happy at the other church that I had been attending, involved in everything, knew a bunch of people, and I enjoyed the pastors. I was very happy there. Mm-hmm. So to me, in my own mind, it didn't make any sense why I should all of a sudden change churches. But in the mind of God, who saw the future, he knew that where I was at that church, those dear pastors didn't really know mm-hmm. Billy.
Well, I knew them, but we weren't so connected and working together.
Connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pastors Mac and Lynn were.
Yes, we were very involved, still are.
And they would have their church go to Billy's annual prayer conference mm-hmm. every year. Mm-hmm. And so while I was there at that church, I began to pray. The Lord just led me to, and during the time when I would normally be teaching, he just led me to go and pray. He's in one of the prayer rooms.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was during those times.
You went to Lynn's prayer groups and the other prayer groups mm-hmm. at the church. Uh-huh.
And it was during those times I became aware of the the upcoming annual prayer conference, and it seemed to me that he was leading me to ask me to go.
2001.
2001.
October prayer conference.
Yes, ma'am. And so I said to the Lord, if this is what you want me to do, I need provision because you've asked me to take a sabbatical, and so I'm living off my savings and wouldn't let me take a job, which was also him, because I never would have gone. I would have been working for my employer. And so the money was provided for me to go by my darling father.
Oh, really?
Yes, the dad. Thank you.
Lynn Campa as well is his name.
Yes, Lynn Campa. Mm-hmm. And so he provided the money, and I went with a group of wonderful women out to the conference. They were heading back.
And we had the conference in this really nice hotel at that time, Chateau on the Lake.
Yes.
So you were rooming with the other women at the Chateau. And the way we do it, we have meetings there at the hotel. Now we've changed to the Hilton Conference Center. But we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Conference Center. And then on Monday, we go out to Prayer Mountain, put up a big tent. And a lot of the people have gone home from Sunday. We usually have about 3,500 or 4,000 through the week. And many of them have gone home. We have about 1,500 that stay over, and we put a great big tent up out at Prayer Mountain. Now, Terry, he's involved in putting that tent up and watching over the people and taking good care of them. Supposed to be listening to the speaker out in the tent meeting, but that day he looked down there and he said to his friend, "What'd you say to Dan?"
I said, "I think that's the prettiest girl I've ever seen. Just wasn't me." Dan says, "I believe you're right."
And so you met her that day. Now, how did you get out to the tent meeting that day? Because you've been staying up there at the meeting. You've been rooming with these other people. And what happened with the ones you're rooming with and riding a van with down here from Minneapolis?
Yes, they had a condo. It wasn't very far from the Chateau, and we were there. And that group of ladies needed to get back, and so they were unable to go to the tent meeting. Mm-hmm. But that evening, I felt the Lord
like
stirring.
Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm. Saying to me, "I need you to be at that tent meeting tomorrow. I need you to be at that tent meeting tomorrow." And I said, "Well, but Lord, I've never been to Branson, Missouri before in my entire life. I don't know anyone here. I don't have a vehicle. How am I going to get up there?"
And we're way in the boonies. Oh, my goodness. We're way in the boonies. Yeah.
Just these practical questions I was asking him. And how also, Father, am I going to get back home to Minnesota? Branson, Missouri and Minnesota, there's quite a distance there.
Uh-huh.
It's not a 30-minute drive. And also, the funds, where am I going to stay? Just all these practical questions. And he said, "If you will trust me, I have these details worked out, but I need you to trust me, and I need you to go." So all night long, I prayed in the Spirit.
Sunday night.
Yes. And by the morning, I had the courage given by him. And so I told those dear ladies what I believed that I needed to do. They dropped me off at the Chateau, and they left for Minnesota.
So you took your bags from the condo over to the Chateau and stood there.
Yes.
And then what?
And I said,
because everybody's going to go out there from the Chateau, from the town. Oh, that's, 20 miles and more.
Yeah, she had just given her ride back home away.
She gave it. She had no ride back to Minneapolis. She took her bags. She went back over to the Chateau and stood there, huh?
Yes.
And then
God
happened?
Is detail oriented. When he says that he'll take care of you if you'll step out, he does. Mm-hmm. He said there was a man that happened to be there, and I talked to him about it, and he said, "Oh, come right this way. I'm going to lock your bags up right over here. Just go right
into
the meeting."
And you had not stayed in the Chateau.
No. I knew nothing
about Chateau
protocol.
But he took your bags and put them
protocol.
There. Yeah, okay.
And so that was a great blessing to me, so I didn't have to go into the meeting and sit there with my suitcases.
Mm-hmm.
So went into the meeting and sat there. And
came out to the tent.
Because that would have been Sunday evening's meeting.
Oh, Sunday evening's meeting, okay.
And so the meeting ended and nothing happened. And I said, "Well, Lord, now what? I still don't have a place to stay.
Tonight.
And I don't have a ride." And he said, "Just sit here. Stay here." And there were three people in front of me talking. And I said, "Well, I think I'm going to go get a drink now." They were continuing to talk. He said, no, stay here." And one by one, they left. And there was a woman, and she turned around and started talking to me. And again, to make a long story short, the end result of that is that she and her husband and two children, they were from Oregon, but they were going to be going back to Minnesota to visit Mac and Lynn Hammond's church.
On their way home. to yes. Oregon, which is not the way to Oregon to go through Minnesota, but they were going to do that.
And she offered to have me stay with them in their hotel and also to take me to the tent meeting and to take me back home to Minnesota, even though they resided in Oregon.
Now, their hotel room, they only have one hotel room?
Yes.
A husband and a wife and children and you in one hotel room.
And they were really, you know, they were doing some things on faith, too, that they believe the Lord is asking them.
So you stayed the night there?
Yes, and the very next morning they took us out to the tent meeting. And it was during the praise and worship and time of where you had said to go ahead, and it was time to take the offering. And so it was when I had started down to go give the offering, my offering unto the Lord, that Terry came into my pathway.
And said this silly thing to you, that you're the most beautiful woman here, the guys and I have decided. And so then you didn't think it was such a, you were not impressed. So then what happened after that? How'd you all ever meet again after that?
I didn't want to meet again, to be honest with you, after that. I was quite embarrassed at my actions. And you called me the next morning.
Mm-hmm. I telephoned
myself. It was lunchtime or somewhere. Me and Dan had break for lunch. You'd called and you said, rumor has it that you were talking to a girl. And you asked, did you get her name? Phone number? I had to answer no to every question of identity. I don't even know where she's from. And then I said, I will probably never see her again. And I heard an audible voice.
This one's audible.
Yes. You will see her again. And it was true. For when I went back to work, heading back to our job site, I saw her walking on the road. I told Dan about
it. Now, what day is this? This is the tent meeting's over.
Tuesday.
The tent meeting's over.
Tuesday.
Nobody's supposed to be around. She's not supposed to be around. Nobody's supposed to be
just
around.
Just the workers.
You're out here on a Prayer Mountain Road in an old truck, and you see this beautiful girl that you saw at the meeting the day before walking on the road out here.
Dan and I just about had a conniption fit because I told him about the audible voice when I was talking to you. Mm-hmm. I said, Dan, an audible voice came into that room and said, you'll see her again. He said, it'll be from God if that's true, Terry.
Because you were so silly. Well, praise the Lord, folks. You've got to come back tomorrow and listen to this. Or go online at billybrim.org, billybrim.org. And when you're there, please check out our eschatology meeting in April. We're going to be looking at the book of Daniel in the light of today's times. You need to enroll and register, so find out how to online. Also, can you come to Israel with us in June? We're taking a youth trip. One bus will be just for the youth, one for the adults. We'll have a wonderful time in June. Also catching up on what's happening in these exciting last days. Just go online to billybrim.org or phone us at 1-800-972-3447 and find out about the books we're offering this week. Tomorrow's our last day, and we've got so much to listen to. You will not want to miss it. Call your friends and tell them about these exciting things. This is Billy Brim, Terry, and Lynn saying shalom, shalom, shalom until tomorrow.